Good morning to each of you. Such a joy to worship the Lord. Music, thanks, worship team, and BB, thanks for your testimony. God is faithful. And we have His Word this morning. And, it's a joy to share that with you. We're in this series, Getting Fit. And if you haven't been here, you missed some, you can go online and the website and catch up. But we talked about getting fit spiritually, getting fit emotionally, and this morning it's getting fit mentally. And there's, granted, a lot of overlap in these three areas, but we're breaking it down. And in fact, I'd like to use this morning the same text as Joel used last Sunday with the Philippians 4 passage, if you could throw that first slide up for me, thanks. Of the journey of mental fitness, and there's, well, what is mental fitness? Well, there's some definitions you could look up online, and one is to have a healthy, strong mind that allows you to handle the challenges and opportunities of life, puts in front of you without losing focus, having a strong, disciplined mind. The definition in the text this morning is having the peace of God guard your heart, that's your emotions, but also guard your mind, guard your thoughts, where your thoughts, someone figured out, I don't know how, that you have approximately 10,000 different thoughts every day. And out of those 10,000 thoughts, you're making decisions, judgments, going through life. And mentally fit from a spiritual sense is that those 10,000 thoughts are dominated by the peace of God in you. So that's where we're going this morning with. So I'd like you to think as we go through this text in the next minutes here is to think about the thoughts that you're having, your mind, and how much of the peace of God is dominating your thoughts. Mental fitness. So, one of the movies, for various reasons that I really enjoy, is Shawshank Redemption. It's R-rated, I know. There's some language and violence there that make me uncomfortable. It's a prison movie, but what I like about it, what struck me in thinking about this message was how, what's the guy's name? Andy Dufresne, he's the main character, lands in prison and he has an incredibly disciplined mind. He never loses his cool in prison. He stays focused. He's mentally alert, he's disciplined, and because of his mental discipline, alertness, he escapes from prison, and as the story goes, he experiences a redemption, a born-again experience. Now, it's not a spiritual movie at all, but he experiences kind of new birth, all because of his mental discipline. And then the movie ends with him enjoying life on a beach in Mexico, living the good life. Again, all because of his mental focus. It's a good movie. I like it. But it lacks the spiritual dimension because in that movie is a lie. And that lie is that with enough mental focus, you can be what you want to be. You can accomplish what you want to accomplish. And the world continually tells you that. And there's some truth to that. But it's really based on a lie of humanism, our own spirit. So another movie that I watched actually this week, just kind of randomly, filling time one evening this week, and I watched on Amazon, Bless You, Prison. Anybody ever hear of that movie? Bless You, Prison. This is a movie I recommend you watch if you can handle, again, the violence, because it's A story, true story, of a Christian lady in Romania during the communist years of Romania, where she was imprisoned for her faith and suffered intense persecution. In fact, Naomi and I started watching it, and Naomi asked me to turn it off. It was hard to watch. So another night when Naomi wasn't there, I finished it. It's hard to watch. But the mental focus this lady had, that she maintained her peace in the midst of incredible suffering, torture, because of her faith. And one way she kept her focus, true story, according to the movie, and there's a book out about her, is that she was served prunes or plums, I couldn't tell, and she saved the seeds under her mattress, and then she sharpened the seeds on the concrete floor, and then she would write, carve in the wall, the verses of God's Word that she had memorized. And she just spent days and days meditating, thinking about these verses, and as they would come to her, she would scratch them out letter by letter on the wall. And she was able to keep her mental focus through meditating, hanging on to God's Word. And she experienced peace in the midst of this incredible suffering. And a part of the movie includes at a work camp where she met another Christian lady. And this lady talked about how she was in cell 25 and how somebody had inscribed the Word of God on these walls. And that Word nourished her and kept her. So it was exact the words that she had written there. And so by the power of God's Word, these two ladies kept their peace. And at the end of the movie, she has this line about, "Bless you, prison." Because there in prison, Jesus became so real and close to me. And I experienced a level of peace I never would have experienced had it not been for prison. The picture of mental fitness in a spiritual realm. So we're talking about this spiritually fit, and thought of why should you care about this? You're getting through life. Well, maybe you're not, or maybe you are, but I want to give you three quick reasons why this is so important to you. One is just the whole thing of spiritually fit is that every one of us have to reach that point where we, as we understand, know God, and we look to His Word, then we're going to have to decide, is this true? Am I going to accept this as truth? And that's the point of being born again, where you say, yes, this is true, and you surrender your life to Jesus, and you're saved. You receive salvation, the forgiveness of your sin. If you're here this morning and you haven't done that yet, where it's clear in your mind, love to talk with you before you leave. Today you could do that. So that's the one important, really, really urgent thing. That getting fit spiritually, emotionally, and from God's perspective is getting saved. But then, if you remember, if you were here at Easter, I use this analogy of when we're as children of God, God doesn't keep track of our sins. Remember the slate? And I use this line, there is no slate. God's not keeping track. He loves you. He's a child of yours. So you may be thinking, well, okay. So I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. What's the big deal? I'll kind of live the rest of my life kind of as I want. And Paul says in Romans 6, shall we continue to sin so that grace may abound? By no means. Absolutely not. And there's way too many benefits. And here's my point. The reason for getting spiritually fit is that, well, think of the Garden of Eden and how Adam and Eve were cast out of the garden. They had this perfect, blessed life. And they were cast out because of the sin. And the angel was there with this flaming sword keeping them out. But Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and He took that sword, and He allowed us in Jesus, we can get under that sword of judgment and return to the garden, and ultimately in heaven we're going to experience the full blessings of the Garden of Eden. But here on this life, we can begin to experience in part the blessings of living in the garden. the effects of the curse, the craziness, the brokenness that are out here. We can receive healing, forgiveness, in part, as we experience life in the garden. And the more fit you are, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, in the Lord, the more you'll experience these blessings. Okay? You get that? So there's some real selfish self-interest, which is not a bad thing. It's okay. So it's good for you. You'll have a more blessed life as you discipline yourself to get fit. And the third reason is for us together. There's a sense of urgency for us as a church. Now let me ask you a question. If the church was compared to a ship or a boat, what kind of a boat do you think the church would be? Anybody? An ark. I like that one. So some I heard, kind of like a lifeboat. Someone just gave me this line yesterday. Forgive me here. You want to, when it comes to your spiritual life, you want to fight like the third monkey in line at the ark. Do you get it? fight for it like the third monkey. All right. Any other boat?
Steam.
Who?
Steam.
A steamboat, like having the steam of the Holy Spirit in us, keeping us going. Yeah, it works for me. A boat. So, an ark, a lifeboat. How many would like church to be like a cruise ship? Wouldn't we all? Just let me love Jesus and make me feel good and feed me good stuff, and it's going to be a great journey. How many think church should be like a battleship? Okay. All right. You got it. Here's where I'm going with this. I think the best analogy of a ship is a church is like an aircraft carrier. And so there's a battle to fight. There's an enemy to be defeated. And Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So we're going to defeat the enemy. The battle is going to be won. But Jesus is calling the church to be like an aircraft carrier, where the aircraft carrier goes to the scene of the battle, to the area, and then what's on an aircraft carrier? Fighter jets, right? And the jets go off and they engage the enemy, and then they come back and get refueled, refitted. And think of the pilots that are flying these planes. They have to be, the whole ship has to be incredibly fit, perfect, to engage the enemy. There's a sense of urgency. I like that, because that's God is calling me as a pastor, all of our pastors, elders, and each of you as a part of this ship, because we have a work to do. We have an enemy. And when you choose to brush off, I'm worried about getting spiritually fit, emotionally, mentally, whatever, you're hurting the mission. You're hurting the mission. We need your help. We need everyone. Jesus wants everyone to be engaged, to be as fit as possible, so we can engage the enemy. So this journey of mental fitness, getting back to that, if you look at the text here and ask yourself the question, is this not working anymore? Give me the next slide, thank you. There's this journey of mental fitness. The peace of God, talked about that. I love this verse in Isaiah 26. Learned it in the King James. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. So, as you can discipline your mind to be close to the Lord and to think God's thoughts, therein lies the peace. And when your prison experience comes, you can say, bless me, prison. Bless you, prison. Because therein lies the peace of God. And so ask yourself. And then the text goes on and kind of defines what a mentally fit person is. So these 10,000 thoughts of yours that you experience daily, how many of those fit in the category of whatever is true? Words, thoughts that are based on truth, factually true. Not your feelings, it feels true to me, but truth according to God's word. Is it true? Isn't the thoughts that are noble, worthy of respect, good thoughts, uplifting thoughts, that are right, righteous, again, according to God's standard, not according to what you think or what you feel or what others are saying, but what God's word is saying? Are your thoughts righteous and pure? And Paul wrote this in one of the most sexually depraved cultures back then, and compared today, is still incredibly sexually perverted culture. He says we can identify with that more and more, but are your thoughts pure and lovely, pleasing, agreeable, attractive, admirable? Do your thoughts tear yourself and others down, or do they tear yourself and others up? Excellent, praiseworthy. I love K-Love, not just for the music, but K-Love, positive and encouraging. Positive and encouraging thoughts. That's what a mentally fit mind is. So how do you get there? How do you get there? Let me suggest a few things. Developing a fit mind. Nourish your mind with God's love and truth, and then avoid junk food, the feeding on lies. Kind of the using the physical, as your physical body feeds and is nourished, and the better you eat more healthy foods, the better your body is fit. So mentally, same way. So nourish your mind with God's love and truth. And I have God's love there because, and we sang about that, and that there's this incredibly powerful, powerful truth of the gospel, is that yes, we are more sinful than we ever dared think or imagine. We can't understand, compared to God's holiness, how desperately sinful you are. But yet we are so incredibly loved by God. And as you grow and understand God's love, it will draw your heart toward peace and toward God's presence, and it'll a part of being mentally fit. Paul in Romans 7 was just devastated. Oh, what a wretched man I am. He's aware of his sinfulness. The things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, I end up doing. But then he comes back to, but thanks be to God. In Romans 8, the next chapter there is just talking about God's love and the power of His Spirit living in his heart that's changing me. And what can separate us from the love of God? Nothing can separate me from God's love. And you can see that God's love kept Paul focused. And Peter, when he denied Jesus and Jesus came back to life and met him on the shore, and Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? And Jesus brought Peter back to God's love. And Paul, John, when he was incredible suffering and for the Lord, and he writes at the end of his life about how deep the Father's love is to his children. And that's a keeping love. And that's something I can't teach you here. But all I can tell you is that it's in God's Word. And as you read God's Word, listen for, look for, and receive, God loves you so much. And that love will change your heart. So you nourish your mind with God's love and the truth of God's Word. And so, in the truth of God's Word, this, and again, it feels like we're a stuck record here. We keep saying this over and over, and we'll probably keep saying it over and over because it's true. And here's the stuck record again. You need to keep daily nourishing your mind with God's Word. You have to keep doing it if you want to be mentally fit, if you want to be a fit Christian, if you want to be one of those Christians that when there's a need, they can jump in the seat of the fighter jet and take off and do God's work and do it effectively and come back. If you want to be that type of Christian, you have to be in God's Word. You have to do it, people, daily. And there's all kinds of ways, and we have different learning styles, and we're in this privileged generation where if you struggle, if you enjoy reading, great, we have God's Word here. So take time every day to read it, meditate on it. Some days it's going to be dry, some days it doesn't make sense, but you keep doing it because you're training your mind. And if you don't enjoy reading, you can listen to God's Word. Podcasts, CDs, as you're driving. And there's all kinds of the music today. Write music can nourish your mind in God's Word. And so you have no excuse for not doing this other than you're spiritually lazy and you're undisciplined in your mind. Can you receive that? If you're not regularly reading God's Word, feeding on it, you're spiritually lazy, you're undisciplined, and you're not training your mind. So, these verses that Paul gave, and this could be the whole text of this morning's message. Let me just read Paul when he talks about to Timothy, this young man who's starting off and being a leader in the church. And he says, "My son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." He goes on, I'm skipping down through here. He talks about working hard. And he says, do your best. Again, let me go back to the King James. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now that's words that are not just for pastors, but that's for the average fighter jet pilot or the crew that's maintaining the ship, from the cook to wherever. Do your best. Present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who doesn't have to be ashamed because he's correctly handling the word of truth. Now that's going to take some mental focus and discipline on your part. And you have the adequate IQ to do that. Okay? Every now and then I hear somebody say, well, I'm just not very smart. That's not true. We have different levels of IQ, yes, and maybe you're among the lower ones. I'm not knowing if you are or not, but if you think you are, there's still no excuse for you not to be a workman approved by God who correctly handles the word of truth. You've got to get into God's Word. And you read it, and we have Bible classes, we have Bible studies, we have our small groups, and we can recommend all kind of resources. There's no excuse. You say you're too busy. Well, you need to repent of that if you don't have time to get into God's Word. And then this whole thing of avoiding junk food, feeding on lies, and I don't know where you're at with that. But I put lies down there because I think we tend to gravitate toward what we think is true. Let me give you some examples. If you believe that if you had more money or more things, then you could experience more peace and happiness, that's a lie. Okay? That's a lie. I'm saying that kind of boldly because I'm not aware of anyone here that is totally the Proverbs that says, give me neither poverty nor wealth. So none of us are at this level of poverty that we are destitute. But if you think that, I just need more money or things, that's a lie. That's not going to make you happy. If you're thinking in the realm of purity and sexual immorality, that I know it's wrong, but I deserve to be happy, it's a lie. You're believing a lie. If you're struggling with addictions, mind-altering drugs, alcoholism, drunkenness, you're saying the pain is too great, I need to get buzzed, and that's okay. That's a lie. You're believing a lie. Selfish ambitions, I demand, I deserve my rights, so I'm going to fight for them. That's a lie. You're again believing a lie. And all these things Paul talks about in the book of Philippians here, complaining, discontent, divisiveness, this selfish, divisive way of living, it's a lie you're believing. And all evidences of an unfit mind. So the truth is that God is enough. Bless you, prison. For therein I find God's peace. Whatever your prison is that you're experiencing, you approach that prison with the truth, not with a lie. So it's obvious. I don't have to say it, but I'm going to say it anyway. You need to look at what you're feeding your mind with. You need to be honest this morning. And think about the media that you're watching. And I thought it was a bit ironic because I began this sermon with an R-rated movie. Did you catch that? And I'm not defending that. And if you say, I'm not watching R-rated movies, then I would say, bless you, bless you. My point is simply that we have to find a level of a standard that we approach in faith and that fits us. And it's not going to be the same for everyone. So I'm not going to stand up here this morning and tell you exactly what you should or shouldn't watch when it comes to movies, media. But I will tell you this, that if what you're watching is drawing your mind away from truth and into lies, if it's doing that, two words, stop it. Stop it. You need to get rid of it in your life because you don't want anything to compromise feeding your mind with truth, with God's love. That's the mental discipline, the mental fitness that you as a Christian need to have and exercise. So anything. So if you're, and it can be your leisure time, your hobbies, how you're investing, it can be a good thing. It can be an okay thing. But if it's robbing you from time in God's Word, and if you're losing your focus on God's truth, then you need to stop it. Because there's nothing more important than to be spiritually, emotionally, mentally fit in service, for service to the Lord. So there's this, all this mental unfitness can lead us to the warning in Hebrews chapter 3, where there's this danger of, as we let our minds grow in unfitness and believing God's lies, that we'll reach a point where we will begin to have unbelief in our hearts. And that unbelief, Hebrews says, will lead you, when you start not believing God's word, like, for example, I know God says this, but that path, Hebrews says, will lead you to a, what Hebrews says, a hardened heart, and it will lead you down the path of unbelief and creating incredible distance between you and God. And you will live your life on this earth outside of the garden of God's blessing. And you'll experience the consequences, the difficulty, the hard, the discipline of the Lord for that. Incredible self-interest, motivation for becoming fit. So I'd like to close with just asking you, will you agree this morning with this text? And I put Psalms 101 up there. It's just one of the Psalms that this week I was reading and just meditating and feeding on and just loved it so much. Okay, Joe, this is what my thoughts and my prayers this week. I will sing of your love and justice. Lord, I will sing of your praise. No matter the prison that I was going through, whatever that may be, I'm going to sing. I will walk in your house with a blameless heart. By your grace, Lord, my commitment is to be blameless. I will set before my eyes no vile thing. And that's so relevant in this day and age with media, our culture. No one who practices deceit will dwell in my house. And there's nothing I would rather do than to dwell in the house of the Lord. So I'm going to discipline my mind. I'm going to stay fit. So what's God speaking to you about this morning? What area do you need to change in your life? I don't know. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will not only speak to you, but then as you rely on Him, He'll give you the strength to deal with what you need to deal with. I invite you to stand. The worship team come forward. And just know that no matter how much you've succeeded or failed in this area, that God loves you incredibly. He's jealous over you. He longs for you to bring all of your heart to Him. So as we prepare for communion, we're serving communion today at the end of this, in a few minutes actually. If you're here this morning and your heart is to love Jesus, and then you're welcome to take communion. But take this song, the time during this song, to talk to Jesus, to prepare your heart, to repent, to confess to Jesus again your commitment to be fit for Him.